Today on Real Radio.
What if God were to say to you, you know, if you started giving stuff away, I'll bless you more. But you know what happens in reality? The more stuff we get, the more stingy we become. Isn't that sad? Don't tell me idols are not real.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his topical series on the Ten Commandments. Now, we've already had a look at the first commandment, which says that we're to have no other gods before the true God of Israel, who is indeed the creator of all. Now, the next commandment is pretty much an elaboration of the first, specifically dealing with idols, which, by the way, are part of Western culture more than you might think. Now, let me encourage you every day to spend some time with us here on Real Radio, because this series on the Ten Commandments will change your life. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called Idols and You.
John chapter 6, in totality, Jesus fed 5,000 people. Remember that story? 5,000 people. They all got fed. And then the disciples take off in a boat, and Jesus will join up with them later. On the next day, when they're on the other side, everybody who got a free meal ran to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and they said, Master, hey, Jesus, right on. We didn't see you get in the boat. It's great that you're here, though, because we're starving. And Jesus said, you didn't even come over here because you saw miracles. He said, you came here because you're just hungry. You want free food. Hey, Jesus, you can really make my life cool. Jesus, you know what? I think I'll follow Jesus, you know. And then when it gets a little rough, I'll kind of back off a little bit. Oh, my. He's nothing but a lucky charm. And that's an idol. And that's a dangerous thing. The most accurate way to identify an idol in our lives is when our idol is exposed to the reality of life. I mentioned the Greeks had their gods, their little deities. You know, if an idol maker was working on his god and it fell off his table, you know what he would do? He would heat up wax and he would melt wax on the crack, put it back together and then paint it up, and he would sell it. He would sell it in the agora. He would sell it on the back of his kiosk with the canopy hanging over. We've seen those from 2,000 years ago, the canopy. And you never wanted to buy something in the back because, listen, it had wax. And if you put it in the sun and it's exposed to reality, the wax melts. The word in Greek is where we get the word sincerity. Sincere means without wax. How do you know if your God can handle it? Put it in the elements. You know what's awesome about our God? Our God not only goes out in the elements, he says, hey, it's fine out here, Peter. It's out here. It's great out here. Take a walk. Come off the boat. Let's go. That's your God. It's scary. Jesus is already over there going, come on. He told the disciples, get in the boat and go over to the other side. And the disciples, I don't know, they weren't paying much attention because they get over there. And I'd love to listen to what they were talking about. Peter, have you ever seen a storm like this? I don't know, maybe. John, have you ever seen a storm like this? I've never seen a storm like this. Can you imagine? Did he say, get in the boat and go over? Or did he say, get in the boat and go under? Which one was it? I thought you heard him. I just said, get in the boat. What did he say? Now think of that for a moment. We're going down. Remember, they all thought they were dying. Why? Because they lost sight of who Jesus and his great power is. Somehow an idol took the place. Anxiety, fear, terror. These are things that push God out. Worry. Push God out. They're idols. It doesn't have to be made out of wax or metal. Or marble. We need to identify these and get them out of our hearts. Number three, the second commandment demands this, that we understand why it's our idol. Why? What benefit do we think we're getting out of this thing? When we understand that idols produce a false reality, as I said earlier, they never perform. The truth is that idols are liars in our life. They lie to us. And you and I live in a culture that we better be careful because we're tempted by this stuff. Peer pressure and all this. I'm thinking about how I got these shoes not too long ago. I'm not going to tell you where I bought them, but I got these shoes, and I wasn't going to get these shoes. I got talked into buying these shoes, and the guy told me, these are really cool shoes. I said, they are, huh? So I tried them out, and I realized, you know what? They're very thin, though. The fabric's very thin. I don't know how long it's going to last. The thought came to my mind, I don't know how long it's going to last. Ah, who cares? They look cool. You never make decisions like this. I know you don't. So what's happening? They're falling apart. I mean, they're just falling apart. I'm watching them fall apart. This stuff. What is this? Oh, but they're cool. How do I know they're cool? I didn't even look it up to see if they were cool. The guy said, these are cool. The guy was young. I'm old. He says they're cool. What do I know? I give them my money. I got shoes falling apart. Pressure like that. You say, well, that's just life. No, no, no. That was God's money. I spent God's money on stupid shoes. Why this idol? Why this thing? I worry about it. I think about it. It causes trouble. It causes arguments with my family. Why the idol? Ask yourself in your own heart, why my idol? Why are all my Christian friends so upset with my new boyfriend? I mean, he's so cool, like my shoes. And we really get along because you haven't had an argument yet. All these things we justify. Why? Because the things that are connecting us to that person are all idol-based decisions. Well, what's the alternative? Pray, wait for God to just like drop somebody by. Yes. Hey, if God drops a guy through your ceiling after praying a prayer like that, chances are you're on the right track of prayer right there. I mean, a guy doesn't fall into your ceiling just any old day, you know. Follow God and see what happens. But for us to create something, you see, I understand that this is my idol and this is the benefit I derive from it. My idol promises me things. Like I'm going to be cool or I'm going to be this or I'm going to be the other. It talks. It has no mouth. Jeremiah says they have no eyes. They can't see a thing. But we carve them out of wood and put them on the front of a boat and then christen it and say, lead us. And there's this wooden, naked lady on the front of a ship. Where are you going with that? What are you going to do with that? We make idols like that. We carve them out of our own hands. Didn't he say? Second commandment. Don't make stuff. Don't carve it. Don't fashion it. There's something wild about us making it and then setting it there and go, oh. Somebody get some incense. Go get the cat. We'll kill it and lay it out here. And we laugh, but we do that stuff. Don't touch my, what? Don't touch my, what is it?
Car.
Oh, car. Don't touch my car. Don't touch my, can I borrow your, no. Have you ever seen kids? Have you ever seen little kids? Get the camera out when it's time to share. Listen, in all seriousness, parents, you need to teach your kids to give stuff away now. Tell them, give it away now. I'm telling you right now, a kid that grows up super possessive and then, oh, you can't play with that. That's Johnny's toy. And then Johnny, you know, he's got his friends over and a little friend goes on over there. No, Billy Bob, that's Johnny's toy. You can't tell, that's his toy. You know, here, play with this newspaper. No, you know what? You teach now from the beginning, Johnny. Let him have your toy. What? You know what? That kid's going to grow up to be a generous kid. And you know what he's going to find out? He's going to find out just what Scripture says. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. You know, Americans are, I just read this tonight, Americans are now, we're not spending now, we're all scared, the economy is in a free fall, and we're all scared, so we're not spending money, And in the midst of that environment, I mean, I know this country's goofed up, but it's the best goofed up place on earth still. Did you know that Americans are still giving benevolently to more people in more nations last month, still in the midst of all these crises? Did you know that there's other countries richer than us, but you give more? Did you know that the more money you have statistically as an individual, the more money you have, the less money you give? That's a fact, you know. The less money you have, the bigger giver you are. Did you know that? That's an absolute scientific fact. Why? Because when you don't have much, you're not owned by anything. You're free. And I bet you that God is looking for people who will get that down and remove the idols from their life. And what if God were to say to you, you know, if you started giving stuff away, I'll bless you more. But you know what happens in reality? The more stuff we get, the more stingy we become. Isn't that sad? Don't tell me idols are not real. It's a scientific fact they're real. It's amazing. People without much give the most. It's amazing. And so you would want to understand your idol as to, how have I created it? What have I created? Philippians 3:13 says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. That is, Paul was still pursuing more and more of God, which is a beautiful thing. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forward to those things which are ahead. What an awesome guy. Listen, church, grab this. I press forward to the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Wow. Paul's the same guy. He's the same guy that said as a Christian, hey, I've learned to be abased. You know, I've learned to go days and days without food, Paul said. And I've learned how to abound. There's times when I was starving, and there's times when I could eat any cow I wanted. Well, how could he do that? Because his heart's in the right place. This is kind of personal, but it's kind of fun. I don't carry cash because I have daughters and a wife in my life. So, so I have a money clip, but it carries my cards, okay? So what? I had this in Israel made last time I was there. So the guy asked me, what do you want on it? And I said, well, I want 1 Timothy 6:6 on it. So he put it in Hebrew, 1 Timothy 6:6. Godliness with contentment is great wealth. And so it's so fun now. I pull out my thing and I look at it. Godliness with contentment is great wealth. You know how cool that is? It doesn't matter if this card bounces like a basketball. Or I can get that Snickers bar. I've learned how to be abased, and I've learned how to abound. Why? Because I'm pressing toward the goal of the high and lofty prize of Jesus. And I don't want an idol. You don't want an idol in your life. You're miserable. If you're an idol-worshipping Christian right now, oh yeah, there are idol-worshipping Christians. If you're an idol-worshipping Christian, you're miserable. For time's sake, I'll just give you the reference and paraphrase it. In 2 Chronicles 34, little 8-year-old King Josiah was made king of Israel. This guy, we need this guy. We need an 8-year-old like him to run for president right now. Little Josiah, he became king of Israel. Little guy walks up there. And he says, okay, I'll tell you what. All these false religions that are going on, they're destroying the country. That's what he said. He said, I want you to cut down their high places. High places, if you're over 21 years of age, you can imagine what that was. Cut them down. I'm sick of looking at those freakish things. Chop them down. All these priests that are prophesying falsely, stealing our people away from the Lord our God, get them out of town. Drive them out of here. He purged the land. King Josiah, 8 years old. Wow. He got rid of the idols. God commended him. That kid got rid of the idols of the land. And the Bible turns right around and says, and the Lord blessed him and his kingdom. How cool is that? And then finally this. Number five, take your idols out. Take them out. Now, that could mean a few things. It could mean take your idols out, like outside. Or it could mean like take your idols, like blow them up. I like that one the best. I don't mean take your idols out like to dinner. Get them out of your life. And here's the surgery part. Get them out of your life. What is it? Stop and think right now. What is it in your life? This means that you dethrone. You must do it. No one else can dethrone the idol in your life. Is it a man, a woman, boy, girl, baby, wife, girlfriend, truck, car, I don't care what it is, career, grade point average, athletics. What is it? That if Jesus said, I want you to never, never touch that again. I want you to give it to me right here, right now, and to walk away. I want you to stop and think right now. What is it in your life? I mean, I know some things. And the scary thing about my stuff is that it could be spun as really cool. And it's not my shoes. I love, you guys already know this. Yeah, I have family roots in Hawaii. I mean, I love it. I gotta watch out. You guys know that I'm a freak about flowers and planting. I love gardening. I love the sound of a lawnmower. Now, if you come to my house and I'm waxing my lawnmower, okay, that's too far, man. You know what I'm talking about? It could be very, very benign and be completely weird. For you, it might be something. It might be your clothes. You've got to have it pressed a certain way. It's got to have this thing like that. You got to smell a certain way. You know what I'm saying? These are idols. They concern you. Got to take it out. Here it is, requirement 101. Our idols are exposed when destruction comes upon them or they're challenged. And when that idol can't perform, you know what you do? You'll either say, thank you, God, I didn't need it in the first place. That's a victory, people. That's a victory, thank God. Lord, I really didn't need that. Or, God, I have served you. I have been faithful. I've been going to church all my life. I gave 10,000 cookies to VBS. I can't believe it. This happens. Do you hear what I'm saying, people? Whatever that thing was your idol. How come, when we say, how come God, idol? If I were God, idol. It's true. I saw a woman yesterday who's battling cancer. Body's been brought down to 78 pounds. Walked in the room, just glowing. And none of this, how come God did this and how come God that? And I don't know why this is. There's jerks in this world who are healthier than none of that. I had a kid break down in the foyer because he had worked all of his young life through young age, junior high, high school. And he didn't get picked. He didn't get selected for the scholarship. Just fell apart. Personal things, you guys. That can hurt. So listen, the gods that you and I have to deal with today, If we can't live without them, we're in trouble. And here's the reason why. They're very convenient. They're convenient. We're familiar with that. We're at home with it. Number two, it's portable. Israel could take that carved out bull anywhere they wanted. Don't think that that bull was huge. I've seen that bull. That they have one of those bulls from Egypt in the Museum of History in London. They have one of the Egyptian bulls. It's about that big that the children of Israel carved out. They had a bunch of them. And the Bible even says so, them. It sounds like they made one, huh? They made them. They're easily reproduced. Idols today, your thoughts are a breeding ground for idols, those things that motivate your efforts. What are they? Is it selfishness? Is it promotion? Is it recognition? Gossip? Is it anxiety and worry? What about your addictions? Those things that I'm seeking after. It could be something as serious, I guess, or as not, as food, pleasure, leisure. Are you addicted to anger? Are you addicted to worldliness? Are you addicted to complaining? You just complain. Everybody knows you complain, and you know you complain, but you just complain about everything. What about your offerings? The altar of sacrifice should be a place of joy. And you would say tonight, it is. It is a place of joy, my offering, because I spend all my time doing basket weaving or golf or investing or... What about your offerings of physical effort? Do you put more of a physical effort into the things of this world than you do God's business? And then what about your passions? Your passions are those things that emotionally drive areas of your life. How's your passions? Are they under the control of Christ? Are they under the control of God, the Holy Spirit? Passions like, are you a sexually charged person? You have to think about it all the time. And you've never even thought once of saying, get these thoughts out of my mind, God. Is it riches? Or are you poor and you're so passionately driven to be rich? What about control and being the one who has got to drive everything? Passions are also connected to manipulation.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a lesson that examines the second of the Ten Commandments, which deals with idols. It's a look at how idolatry is part of our Western culture and our daily life more than we even realize. It's called Idols and You. It's an examination of commandment number two. And it's part of Pastor Jack's topical series, which takes a look at the Ten Commandments. And if you get a chance, set aside some time to be with us every day to get through this entire Ten Commandments series, because it will make a big difference in your life. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently we brought to you Pastor Jack's series, Only the Cross, in commemoration of Passion Week. But if you think about it, Only the Cross is a series of messages that really is important every day of the year. That's why we're offering Pastor Jack's series, Only the Cross, in a 4-DVD set for your tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio of any amount. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name. Only the Cross in a 4-DVD set. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll know right where to point and click. It's real easy. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is 1-877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.